Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome to worship on this, the 13th weekend after Pentecost. We welcome everybody here in the building tonight, of course, and also we welcome those who are listening or watching online. Welcome everybody to worship tonight. A reminder regarding our Bible class, starting Sunday, the 13th of September, we will begin to offer an in-person Bible study. Bible study will begin at 9:45 a.m. on Sunday morning. And we will be socially distant, we'll be wearing masks, and we will meet down in the gym to give us a maximum amount of space to be socially distant from one another. If you wouldn't mind, if you can come, please register for that class by signing up at the Welcome Center or by calling the church office. Children's Sunday School continues to be offered online only. You will find that material on our website, chapelofthecross.org. For those listening or watching online, the bulletin for this service can be found on the Resources tab of the homepage of our website, and you can give your offering to the Lord and His church through that Give tab on the homepage, or you may just mail your offering into the church office. A couple other announcements before we begin worship. Life Touch Church Photography has announced that they are canceling all photography events for the fall, including chapel's photo events scheduled for next month. I want to say thank you for all who are willing to participate in that, and we are hoping that we can put together a church directory next year. And Jim Marriott will be leading the liturgy and be our celebrant today. Jim is no longer Vicar Marriott. He is rather now Pastor Marriott, as he was ordained this past Friday. We're blessed to have Jim continue to serve here at Chapel of the Cross, now as Pastor Marriott. May God bless you as we worship this day. We begin by listening to our opening hymn, Come Follow Me, the Savior Spake, hymn number 688 in Lutheran Service Book.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins,
God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us therefore come before his throne of grace with humble and sincere hearts to lay our burdens down. Gracious Lord, we come before you, laying the burden of our sin at the foot of your cross. We openly acknowledge our failure always to follow your plans for our lives. God, we have often stumbled and fallen in our service to you. We have at times placed our agenda ahead of yours. We have been shallow in our love toward you and toward those you have placed in our path. We cry out for mercy, trusting in your promise to forgive us through the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God has heard your cry for mercy and fulfills his promise to save and to deliver you. Lavishing his grace upon you in Jesus, he enables you to love and to forgive as he first loved and has forgiven you. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son willingly endured the evil of sin and death at the cross for our redemption. Grant to us the goodness of our Savior so that we are not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
He helps us free.
reading from Jeremiah. You understand, O Lord. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord, God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me, and you have filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. If you utter worth, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you to rescue and to save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the cruel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In body and spirit for the reading of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We make witness of our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus came, the script was written for him, or so everyone thought. Everyone thought that they knew what the Messiah was supposed to do. He was supposed to be a mighty political ruler who would raise the nation of Israel to prominence once again and bring about another golden age. That's who the Messiah was supposed to be. That's what the Messiah was supposed to do. That script was all written for him. But Jesus didn't let that script limit him. In fact, Jesus threw out that script and he wrote his own. You see it over and over again in the Gospels, don't you? I mean, think of the time he invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. He's there among those sinners, and that tax collector himself, a great sinner for everybody, and yet here's Jesus eating with him, talking with him, saving him. Or remember when Jesus was at the Pharisee's home and that sinful woman, that prostitute, comes in and she starts to cry and wet his feet with her tears and then wipe his feet with her hair and then anoints his feet with perfume. And Jesus allows all that. Or the time that he talked with that Samaritan woman by the well, when he knew perfectly well that good, respectable rabbis don't do that sort of thing. I can almost hear him say, "Well, they do now." You could probably think of quite a few other stories from the Gospels. Jesus throwing out the script about what others thought about the Messiah and how he should act and what he should do, what he should say. Today's Gospel reading is no different. This text really is the beginning of the end for Jesus. From here on, Luke in his gospel says he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he was going to Jerusalem for just one reason. He was going there to die. Listen to what he tells those disciples. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and on the third day, be raised to life. There is no doubt about it. There is no wavering. There is no indecision. Just this firm commitment to what he came to the earth to do. But Peter didn't like that very much, did he? And, you know, you can't blame him. Jesus was saying some things that he really did not like to hear. He had joined the Lord's outfit with, I'm sure, some expectations, but he did not expect that his leader, his rabbi, his friend, would suffer, would be rejected, and then be killed. That was not part of the game plan. That was not part of Peter's script for Jesus. And so Peter takes Jesus aside to correct him, if you can believe that. Peter takes him aside so as not to embarrass poor Jesus in front of the other disciples. And he says, now wait a minute, Jesus. What are you saying here? Don't you know there's got to be a better way? In fact, I know there is. You have power. I've seen it. You need to use it. You're not a loser, Jesus. You're a winner. You've turned water into wine. You've walked on water. You've given the sick their health. You're not going to go through all that pain and that suffering and that death you just talked about, not if I have anything to do with it. Jesus' response to that is quick and it's strong and it stings. Oh, does it sting? Get away from me, Satan. Peter, you're not even Peter anymore. Those are not your words. They're satanic words. Jesus heard the voice of Satan in those words of Peter, as well-intentioned as they might have been. He had heard words like those before when he was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And he recognized those words for what they were. Jesus is telling Peter and his disciples exactly what kind of Christ he is to be. He is a suffering Christ. He is a dying Christ. He is not a Christ that many expected. He is not a Christ that the script said he was. Perhaps he's not the kind of Christ that was even wanted. But he's the kind of Christ that we need. No, Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with Peter's plan. No wavering. No backing off his mission. If Peter gets in the way, you better look out, Peter. Jesus is not going to stop, and he's not going to turn away. So with some very strong words, Jesus makes it very, very clear that he intended to listen to his Father. He intended to reject Satan's call, and he intended to write his own script. Now, Jesus isn't just rewriting his own script, he's also rewriting ours. Listen to what he says, not just to Peter and the disciples, but also to you and to me. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Oh. Well, that's not part of the script. At least not part of my script. Not denying myself, not taking up a cross. I mean, we'd rather have a script that says that Jesus never lets us suffer. And certainly, if we do suffer, then he must have forsaken us in some way. We close our ears and we hear about crosses and about cross-bearing. We don't want to do with suffering. We look down on making sacrifices. We'd much rather stay away from anything that might be unpleasant or difficult or unpopular. But listen to what Christ says. He says, I have a new script for you. In fact, let me rewrite the script of your life. Follow me. Follow Christ? Where? Wherever he goes. We know where his cross leads. It leads not only to the slate wiped clean from sin. It leads not only to reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. It leads to a tomb cracked open by the power of the Lord of life. It leads to death defeated and life restored. It leads to everlasting life and salvation for the children of God. Follow me there, Jesus says. And as you follow, deny yourself. That doesn't mean just giving up chocolate for a week, as difficult as that might be. That means, by the Spirit's power, you determine to stop colliding with the will of God. Stop running from what he wants for you. Stop avoiding his plan for your life. Put to death that part of your life that gets in the way of Jesus having his way in your life. And that could be a lot of different things. It could be pride. It could be worry or an anxiety about the future or about our present. It could be self-importance or self-righteousness or just plain selfishness. Whatever it is, put it to death, Jesus says. Deny yourself. And as you follow, and as you deny yourself, take up your cross. Take up the cross that comes from bearing his name. Take up the cross of being treated differently because you're a Christian. Take the cross of choosing to live differently. Take up the cross of making decisions according to God's will, not your will. Certainly not the world's will. You know, you'll be surprised. That cross, it's not heavy. When we bear our cross with Christ, he makes it light. And really, the surest way to bear our cross is to realize that we do not bear it alone. Christ has promised to be with us. From the moment that he makes us his and he starts to rewrite the script of our lives through the waters of holy baptism, he says, you are mine, my child, and I will not leave you alone. I will bear that cross with you. You know, when you come to think of it, he takes each one of us and our different scripts and he says, you know, I've made some great revisions for you. I've got a wonderful part for you. Follow me where I take you. And in love and in mercy, he takes our sin and he pours out his forgiveness. He takes our faults and he pours out his love. He takes our guilt and he pours out his peace. He takes our shame and he pours out his grace. He takes our frailties and he pours out his strength. He takes all that is worldly and sinful and evil and he covers our lives with his grace and his mercy and his love so that his will would be our will and his victory would be our victory and our lives would be lived to his glory. And our eternity would be with him. What a great script! And that's the script that Christ has written for you. This is the kind of Christ he is. He is a suffering Christ, the dying Christ, the rising Christ. He is the grace-giving Christ, the love-giving Christ, the forgiving Christ. By his grace and by his power, take up your cross and follow him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We rise in body and spirit to pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all according to their needs. Lord God, give us faith to accept where your coming led, that by your cross and resurrection we may have life in your name. Keep us from choosing the easy path that conforms to this world. Guide us to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of heaven and earth, we know that you hold all things in your hands. In your mercy, provide for the need of those who have been affected by Hurricane Laura. Work through those who bring relief and aid, and protect all from any further harm. Comfort and give peace to those who grieve and mourn. Draw all to the cross of Christ, who is our salvation now and always. Lord, in your mercy. God of all power, give wisdom to our president, Congress, and all of our leaders, that they may serve well the causes of freedom and of justice. Make your presence known to our troops at home and abroad, and keep them safe as they serve our country. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, give to the sick healing, the suffering relief, the dying peace, and the sorrowful hope. We especially remember this day Sam Johnson as he is hospitalized, Denise Hildebrand as she has surgery this week, and the daughter of Leon and Joanne Steinbrook, Debbie, as she is treated for cancer. Give comfort, recovery, and health to Sam, Denise, and Debbie, and others who are in need of your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, make your presence known to all who mourn, especially the family and loved ones of Jerry Seitler, who died in the Lord last week, Sunday, and Jim Diekman and his family upon the death of his mother, Lois, this past Thursday. Grant your comfort, your peace, and your strength. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God and Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have come to bring us your heavenly peace. And even still, violence and conflict rage among your children on earth. We ask, Lord, that you would work to bring restoration of calm and security in Kenosha and other parts of our country, and that you would work in and through all of us to heal the wounds that have been inflicted. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may move every human heart, that the barriers which divide us may crumble, that suspicions would disappear and hatreds cease, and that with our divisions healed we might live in justice and in peace. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we have much to celebrate and to give thanks for. We thank you along with Don and Mary Jo Loberg as they celebrate their 45th wedding anniversary, and we celebrate with Jerry Bolden and her family as they celebrate her birthday this weekend. Continue to love, care for, and bless each of them. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift of your Son's body and blood. Now that we have received his goodness and his word and spirit, help us to take up our cross daily and follow our Savior, who leads us with the only love that overcomes evil with good. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.
Remain standing to sing our closing hymn.
Son of God goes forth.